Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, and welcome to part two of my chat with handsome Dr. Sean Cassidy. If you haven't listened to part one yet, it might be best to go back and listen to that first, otherwise this might not make a huge amount of sense. And also, he's got a lovely Irish accent, so why wouldn't you want to, really?
You're listening to Probably True. Please be aware that this podcast may contain strong language and adult themes. It would be boring without them.
If I were diagnosed with HIV, is it like a bag full of pills every day? Will I be rattling as I walk and things like that? Or
we've moved away from that. So yeah, like in the 80s when they were still trying out treatments and experimenting, that, you know, people would be taking multiple pills a day, several times a day. The majority of people these days will take one or two pills in the morning. And that's it. Like you're popping a vitamin or something.
I was going to say, yeah, I have a Barocca most mornings. So, yeah. You know, same thing.
And it's, you know, obviously the implications are slightly different in that it's a treatment that you have to take for the rest of your life. You have to take it every day. So it's a slightly different mindset, I guess. But once you kind of come around to that, then it's actually really simple.
So medical science has advanced to the point where I can take a couple of pills a day and I don't have to worry about it, I don't have to think about it, I can just go on and have a normal life. Is that kind of...
Well, I mean, yeah, and I think it's really important that we focus on that when we're talking to patients, in the sense that it is very, very much a livable chronic condition. So we try and liken it to things like diabetes or high blood pressure, where it's just a pill that you take a day and that kind of controls it. And it should mean that it has no effect on your physical health. I think it's really important that we don't ignore some of the other baggage that comes with HIV. So particularly a lot among the kind of psychological end of things and the stigma that surrounds it. HIV is still massively stigmatizing. People are still afraid of it, despite all the advances that we've made in treatment, but also PrEP and everything else. As doctors and as clinicians, we love to be guided by numbers. So it's nice to be able to say to someone, you know, your CD4 count is 800 and your viral load is undetectable. This is good news. And they might burst into tears because actually someone's rejected them on Grindr or on Tinder or something because of their HIV status, who's uneducated and maybe doesn't, you know about these things.
A bit of a dick.
A massive dick. You know, so we have to kind of take that into account as well. I think that's kind of just as important, if not more important, than the science and the numbers behind it, because it's a multifaceted condition. I hope we're turning a corner, but like I say, it's still early days. I think people's attitudes and beliefs are actually really fixed and difficult to shift. So once people have some kind of idea in their head, it takes a lot of work to kind of get around that and to try and change that.
A large part of your job, I imagine, is like educating people, getting these things across, instead of it just being fear and rumours and stuff like that, because we never learn anything about it at school.
No, and yeah, as someone who went to a Catholic all-boys school, you know, I've barely learned what sex was myself, so I had to just do the hard graft myself, but more of that later.
Enough about your hard graft.
And it's often educating, you know, people who are living with HIV too, because they've lived through that stigma and that shame, and they often have a lot of preconceptions about what that means for them. So a lot of that is kind of breaking that down for them. I mean, that can be one of the best things of my job, is to kind of tell people that actually once they're stable on treatment, that actually the risk of passing it on is basically zero. So that's been really empowering.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so there's a snazzy new concept called U equals U, which...
Which isn't about me. It's not like I equal me.
Well, it's always about you, Scott, isn't it?
It's very true.
Deep down.
Correct answer.
This has kind of come into, I guess, parlance over the last few years based on a few really large scale research projects looking at transmission in what we call serodiscordant partners. And what I mean by that is where it just means that one is living with HIV and one is HIV negative.
Okay, so if I, as someone who doesn't have HIV, mm-hmm. was dating someone with HIV, that would be a serodiscordant
relationship. Exactly, yeah.
Because we don't both have the same status.
Yeah, discordant because you're different status. Yeah, exactly. So what they looked at was, this is heterosexual and gay couples, and they followed them over many years of sexual encounters, shall we say?
Just followed them, sexual, like for the window.
Sexual episodes. And for several years, by the end of the project, they'd recorded about 80,000 episodes of sex. Can you even imagine 80,000?
Well, I've been on holiday to Gran Canaria, so, you know, it's only there a week, but I'll give it a go.
Well, I'm exhausted thinking about that. That's a lot of sex. Within,
you'd be sore, wouldn't you? Red raw. Sorry, carry on.
And there were zero transmissions.
Wow.
Zero. Big fat zero.
So now, not nearly zero, not statistically zero, but actual
none. Absolutely. Now, there were some episodes, or there were some new HIV transmissions, but through fancy scientific testing, where they were able to sequence the viral genetic material, they were able to determine that it wasn't transmitted from the partner that was in the study with them. Does that make sense?
Hang on just a second. So that would be like if me and my fictional boyfriend, who has HIV, were to have a threesome with another guy who, whether we knew it or not, also had HIV, but he would have a slightly different strain.
Yes, exactly.
This,
yeah.
Okay, in the same way that, like, there's different flu strains because there was H1N1 and stuff like that. So you can tell where it came from, essentially.
Yeah, sort of. So, yeah, so obviously, like I said before, like, HIV mutates really rapidly. So it's possible to get some idea of whether it came from a particular partner or not, if that makes sense. Yeah. So they were able to determine through this that none of the transmissions were from the partner that was undetectable on treatment.
Amazing.
So when their viral load was below 200 and they were on treatment, they were unable to pass it on. The crazy thing
how hard they tried.
Exactly. 80,000.
Wow.
And the thing that we're taught in med school is, like, that we never deal in absolutes. If there's a possible risk of something, then it's a risk. But I think that actually with this, with U equals U, which stands for, by the way, undetectable equals untransmittable, I think we are able to say that statistically there is zero risk. And that's really, really empowering for us, for our patients. It's been incredible. It's been really amazing. And the reason that I think that's been really empowering is that if you tell someone there is a very low risk of you passing on this infection, what they're going to hear is there is a risk. Whereas now we can say there is zero risk. And that has been a real game changer. So it's been amazing.
That's brilliant. As long as you take your pills.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great. That's presumably a large part of what's helping cut down the number of new infections. And
yeah, definitely. So we've seen, like, a massive fall in HIV diagnoses in gay and bisexual men in London and further afield, actually. It's not just in London. And I think that's kind of explained by, you know, the fact that we're treating people earlier. So in the past, we used to wait until their CD4 count fell below a certain number before we would start treatment. And the reason for that was because we didn't know the long-term effects of giving people, you know, pills for the rest of their life. Whereas now we know that they're safe to take long-term. So mm-hmm. we generally start people as soon as they're diagnosed, if they're ready. And we know that that's massively helpful in terms of reducing, because it's that the time you're most likely to transmit it is when you don't know that you have it. So when your viral load is going to be highest is, like, you know, before you've been diagnosed.
Yeah.
And before you're on treatment. So early treatment, PrEP, U equals U, it's all been a massive boost in terms of reducing rates. So it's, yeah, the future does look bright.
Awesome. And to go back to that 80s advert, it's about not dying of ignorance. Like, if you know, you can deal with it. It's the ignorance that's the issue.
Yeah. And I think that's something that I personally really struggle with. When I'm presented with someone who just doesn't want to test, how you kind of explore that. And, you know, it's difficult for me to get my head around, I'll be honest. I sometimes struggle with that because I'm just like, just test, because why wouldn't you want to know? But some people have lived through those really dark times and they've maybe seen all of their friends die from this and maybe just aren't up to speed with how different things are now and how far we've come. So it's difficult to get my head around. But, you know, you have to appreciate that people come at this from different backgrounds and different experiences, I guess.
just the knowledge helps get rid of some of the stigma as well. And once you like are quite educated, it gets rid of that whole kind of
It does. And you know what? I don't, like I say, I'd hate to kind of use broad brush strokes because not everyone's the same. And I definitely have patients who really, really struggle, you know, despite everything, despite the fact that they're on treatment and they're undetectable and can't pass it on, you know, and difficult to, I'd hate to underestimate the kind of psychological burden that some people have, but, you know, everyone's different and everyone will kind of process things in a slightly different way. And some people will take longer to process these things. Vast majority of people live very normal, healthy lives and like I say, live for as long as people who are HIV negative. So that can only be a good thing.
Excellent.
That seemed like a good place to finish our chat, but we still had some time left, so I decided, before we put our clothes back on, to play a game.
HIV myth busting. So I'm going to throw a myth, what I have heard out in the wild from people talking to me, and you can tell me if this is a stupid thing or not. First one, tops can't catch HIV. They can only transmit it because it's the one that gets, essentially, it's the one that gets the jizz in them that catches HIV.
Oh, it's completely false.
Okay.
Does anyone actually think that?
Apparently so. Some guy, this was a few years ago, was like, oh yeah, like I really love bareback sex. And like, that's not, this was before preps. I'm like, that's a really bad idea. He's like, no, it's fine. I'm a top. I can't catch it. And I'm like, you're an idiot is what you are.
Yeah. I mean, look, the overall risk is lower. But no, you can still absolutely get HIV if you're a top. And the reason for that is there are quite high concentrations of HIV in anal mucus.
Again with the anal mucus. Again, you're obsessed.
The sexy terms. Mm. So yeah, in untreated HIV, yeah, you can get a lot of kind of secretions, a lot of virus present in the secretions. So it can be passed on and absorbed through the end of the penis. I guess the reason that the risk is higher if you are the bottom or the receptive partner is because the rectum can bleed and is prone to trauma. And it's also very, very well supplied with blood. So it's just an easy route for the virus to get in. So the risk is higher, but no, if people think that, that is silly.
Cool. Myth number two, HIV is a gay disease.
Wow. So if this was 1981, I'd still say no, but no, we've come so far that I think that the number of heterosexuals living with HIV far outweighs the number of gay and bisexual men. No, absolutely not. It can affect anyone. It can be passed on through childbirth, like I say. It can be passed on through sharing needles as well if you use recreational drugs. So no, it doesn't follow that it's just gay men.
Myth number three, condoms don't stop HIV from being transmitted. This myth, just by the way, was the Pope said this.
Yeah. Well, I get all my sexual advice from the Catholic Church. Again, in the 80s, the Catholic Church were promoting these messages, which is terrifying. Condoms will prevent HIV. Condoms are not 100% effective at preventing any STI, but they're probably the best that we've got.
Including children.
Exactly. The most famous STI of all. So I guess the thing with PrEP is that a lot of people are like, oh, does that mean I can stop using condoms and just bareback all the time? Well, yeah, but but you can still pass on any other STI. So condoms are actually the best effective method of contraception that we have, even though they're probably not very fashionable anymore. But yeah, they work. So yeah, if people use them, then great.
And if you want to use a condom and the person you're trying to have sex with doesn't want you to, if they like kick up a fuss, don't have sex with them.
Absolutely.
Simple as that.
Absolutely. Kick them out.
You can tell just by looking at someone if they have HIV.
Absolutely not true. Absolutely not true. And again, I think things have changed since the early 80s when we had more of the complications around HIV and AIDS. People will kind of remember like things like Philadelphia, so that Tom Hanks film where, you know, he had kind of purple blotches, etc. Again, you know, very stigmatizing, but we don't see that. So most people these days are completely well controlled on treatment, and they might be bodybuilders, they might be old 80-year-olds. it's all kind of body sizes, it's all kind of body shapes, and there's no, you know, there's no way that you can tell from looking at someone at all.
Final HIV myth. The humans got the disease because someone fucked a monkey.
Well, the answer is we don't really know. I'm speculating here. I don't think it was from someone fucking a monkey, but I mean, I wasn't there. Who knows? Who knows what they got up to back in the day? It's likely to have been transmitted from a monkey, but it's probably just from blood contact. So maybe someone had killed and eaten a monkey. I don't know. What do people do with monkeys?
Well, all sorts of things.
It depends what you're up to, doesn't it? Mm. Yeah, it's likely that at some point it's passed from monkeys to humans, but we think it's probably been around for like a lot longer than you might think. So maybe like 50 to 100 years. I don't think there's any way we'll probably know for certain. But yeah, like there've definitely been proposed cases way earlier than the 80s. It's just because, like I said, that at the time there was that cluster, they kind of put two and two together and worked out that something was afoot.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining me for this.
My pleasure.
If people want to get in touch, like not to send you like pictures of their manky knobs so you can then...
But which like, does happen.
Really?
FYI.
Or on Twitter, you're like, hey, does this look right to you?
And I'm like, Mom, really? Stop tweeting me.
Oh, she loves you.
Oh, I hope she doesn't listen to this.
I hope she does. Yeah. So what are your socials? How can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Dr_SeanC.
Do not send him pictures of your knob. Unless he expressly asks for
them. Yeah, unless I've given consent.
And if people wanted to know more about HIV and sexual health, I mean, they could just Google it, but are there any particular places they should go and look for stuff?
I mean, there's lots of great services. So, I mean, a lot of the London clinics are really kind of geared up, have loads of great advice and support services. There's a few organizations that I should name check because they're amazing. So LGBT Hero does a lot of work around sexual health advice for people who are part of the LGBT community. Terence Higgins Trust, obviously very well known, has a lot of great stuff on their website as well. So there's a lot of info out there, but it's just about, you know, getting onto it. But yeah, just Google it.
Just Google
just
it.
Just Google it.
Get on the Google.
That's what I do.
Yeah. Green ooze. Like...
Yeah. No, green ooze I'm on top of. I know what.
And on that note. Brilliant. Thank you so much for this. It's been
an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Next time I'll have you back and we'll tell some gross yet funny story from your personal history.
About green ooze.
Why not?
Sure.
Yeah. Like, up the walls. Drowning in green ooze, if you like.
Can't
Jesus.
Wait.
Oh, I feel sick. That was Probably True, the multi-award-winning storytelling series written and produced by me, the multi-award-winning Scott Fleshart. It was designed to remind all of my queer siblings that we are none of us alone. You can find links, transcripts of every episode, and all that good stuff at probablytruepodcast.com. If you enjoyed or found value in anything you've heard today, you can support the show on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/probablytrue. And if you want to get in touch, just search Probably True Podcast on the socials.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.